Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Play action, Rattlers in trouble, balls out. Keyshawn Nixon had the pressure and forced a fumble. Packers ball as Rashawn Gary comes out of there with a football.
Welcome back to the Pack a Day Radio Show, live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook. Hope your Victory Tuesday is going well. Remember, we've got the Mason Crosby Show with Mitch and Ellis coming up next from 9 to 11. But right now, the biggest guest that we've ever had in the history of the show, we are talking to Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, host of Wisconsin Sports Daily, 2 to 5 p.m. right here on the Fan, and of course, the Green Bay Football Postgame Show as well. You can find him on social media at Sparky Radio. Sparky, how are you doing, my friend?
What I just learned was Andy Herdman has been up all night and has become delirious because he's had no sleep so far at Christmas Eve. So that's okay. Just get through the rest of the show and you can take a nap.
Hey, not even I am immune to sucking up to my boss. Like that is job number one. We got to make the boss happy. And if the boss is happy, yeah, Things are good. So that's always job number one, Sparky.
Why don't you teach Tommy Wirtz that? That'd be a good starting point.
Tommy's hopeless. Yeah. We can only help him so much. We're taking baby steps with Tommy. We'll get there.
I love Tommy. All right, what's up?
I do too. All right, Sparky, let's get into this one. A fun victory, 34-0 Packers. I'm going to give you the floor right away and just say, what are your key takeaways from this Packers victory?
Well, they did what they were supposed to do, right? They were supposed to go out there and hammer them based on the point spread, based on the fact there was no Derek Carr from the New Orleans Saints, no Alvin Kamara, and a host of others on the offensive side of the ball. But to me, and we talked about it last night at Green Bay football postgame show driven by Young Express, was the fact that they pitched a shutout. To me, that was the most impressive thing. Not only did you pitch a shutout, and I know it's not a good football team that they're facing, but you did it without Javon Bullard, who was a contributor earlier in the year. You did it without Evan Williams, who was a huge contributor and a starting safety for you still at this point. You did it without Quay Walker, who I know a lot of you don't like. I get it. But he'd been playing better there before the injury. So you did it without him. And you won yet another game without Jaire Alexander, who is, you know, all pro level type cornerback. And he wasn't out there defensively either. And you still were able to pitch a shutout. So to me, that was the very most impressive thing that we saw from yesterday's Packers game. And they were still able to get pressure on Rattler, which also was another nice positive, because that's another area where they struggled earlier in the year getting consistent pressure. And now here, the last couple of weeks, they've been able to do it.
Yeah, I'm so glad that you brought up the injuries for the Packers as well, because it's really easy to point to some of these teams that Green Bay's been playing, specifically San Francisco and now New Orleans, just say, look how beat up they are. Like, yes, it's great that the Packers won, but they're supposed to win those games. But you know what? The Packers have had injuries to Jordan Love, and they navigated it with Malik Willis. They've had injuries to their entire secondary, not named Xavier McKinney, and they were able to navigate it. Like, I know that they haven't exactly been the most beat up team this year, but they have still had some pretty big injury issues through the course of the year that they've had to navigate. And this team just has depth everywhere. And Green Bay also does a phenomenal job from a coaching standpoint of, hey, Zane Anderson's in today. Zane Anderson, I thought, was really, really good in his couple games where he's gone in so far. Like, that's just another value add and just shows the depth of this team all over. Yes, the Saints were a shell of themselves in offense, but this defensive backfield could have been a shell of itself as well. And there could have been a lot of opportunities to exploit it. And there just never were. And I thought the coaching staff and really the job that Goody's done building this team and all the depth that they have really showed out again last night in this game, particularly in the secondary.
Now, saying that, I'm not quite sure how far they get in the playoffs if they can't get healthier on defense than they are right now. Like I don't know if you can go, go to a Super Bowl without the guys that were missing last night. And God forbid if you miss any more. I don't know if, you know, you can go to Minnesota in the playoffs and win, or to Detroit in the playoffs, if you're missing these many guys on defense at that point.
No, I think it's a fair assessment, and I do think, you know, injuries are going to be a big topic of discussion just kind of through the remainder of these final two games. They're going to get the 5, 6, or 7 seed. How important is seeding at this point? We're going to find out. I think you have to go to Minnesota and play that game to win and try to continue to up your seed, and then you kind of see where things fall and what you want to do against Chicago. But you also have to rest guys if they are not feeling 100%. You had Christian Watson go out with an injury last night, which Matt LaFleur said there was some level of concern about. It sounds like Evan Williams will not be back for the regular season. They're hopeful he'll be able to be back by the playoffs. And then, you know, the entire Jair situation continues to practice in full. I still don't think there's a conspiracy here. I think they're being cautious. And I think my hope is that he's still going to be back at some point, at least by the wild card game. But to your point, they're going to have to heal up Quay Walker, Javon Bullard, etc., and get healthy. It was great to see Luke Musgrave back last night, even if it was only for 8 snaps. But yes, this injury and this health of this team is going to be of the utmost importance as they get ready for the playoffs.
You think about this. You're winning games right now with Valentine.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
You might think financial crime is all about money, but sometimes it ends in murder. I'm Nicole Lappin, host of Money Crimes, a Crime House original podcast. Each episode features a thrilling story about the dark side of finance and how to protect yourself from it. Follow and listen to Money Crimes, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
And Stokes out there playing cornerback with Keyshawn Nixon. That's how you're winning NFL football games right now. Now, I'm not saying Jeff Hafley is a miracle worker, but this is something else, because if you would have told me at the beginning of the year they'd be in the second half of the season coming down the stretch without Jaire Alexander for several games and still figuring out ways to not only win games, but you saw with a pretty good defense and not giving up explosive plays. This defense doesn't give up 10 catches for 170 yards to somebody. The defense doesn't give up multiple, you know, 30 or 40 yard plays to one wide receiver. They keep everything in front of them by design and then are still able to create turnovers. It has been really impressive, the job that Jeff Hafley has done.
Yeah, I think we need to start pumping the brakes on telling everyone how good of a job Jeff Hafley's done, because I would like Jeff Hafley to stay as defensive coordinator for the foreseeable future. But yes, he's doing a phenomenal job, and I'm glad he's getting the credit that he deserves. And yes, again, bad Saints offense, we can be honest about it, but I talked about in the first segment, Sparky, go back to the Panthers last year. Panthers scored 30 in a must-win game for the Packers. They were a two-win team, rookie quarterback, and the Panthers put up 30 in that game against Green Bay's defense. It's a night-and-day difference, almost an identical year later against an NFC South team with a rookie quarterback, and Green Bay completely shuts them out, never gives them any hope in this one. Speaking of defense, how special is Adrian Cooper? He continues to look like a stud and just really grow up in real time right in front of our eyes.
He does. He does look like a stud. And, you know, it's funny because you watch Adrian Cooper play. Maybe I'm the only one. but you realize how athletic he is. You realize the instincts that he has. You realize the smarts that he has. Everything that goes along with it. And then you look at Quay Walker and go, hey, like, why couldn't we just have two of them, right? I mean, you're right there. Quay Walker's as athletic as they wanted. And I'm not saying they thought they had, you know, Adrian Cooper in Quay Walker when they took him in the first round. But my guess is they thought it was closer to Adrian Cooper than what Quay Walker has been to himself to this point. And if you had two of those type of linebackers in that defense, that's a huge, huge game changer for this team. Yeah, I mean, Cooper looks like he's going to be a perennial Pro Bowl player. He can play in pass coverage, obviously, run with tight ends, run with wide receivers. He can shoot the gaps and blitz. He can stop the run. I mean, he literally can do everything you want him to do at this point. You know, and there was talk last night on the broadcast with Buck and Aikman about, you know, whether or not they move him inside or leave him where he is, and they've decided to keep Eric Wilson inside. And that's fine. And I don't know where his position is going forward. You would assume Quay Walker is back another year next year, so he stays where he is. Do you have an idea of where you'd like to see him play to make the most use out of him, Andy?
Yeah, I think they have him in the exact right spot. I don't think right now, especially, you want to put anything with the green dot or calling plays on his sheet or anything that he has to add in that regards. I think you also have him being able to play a little bit more off the ball and be able to run and chase, be a blitzer, be a spy, run sideline to sideline. I think that's all good. And for me, like, if you want to continue to have, whether it be Quay Walker, somebody else kind of be that baseline backer, that dime linebacker, and it's just Edgerrin Cooper playing super fast as a nickel linebacker and doing what he's doing right now, I think that's the exact right spot for him. And they're bringing him along the right way. Now, I'm not saying in maybe in year two, year three, at some point in some time that you can't have him do some different stuff. But I think right now they are using him 100% the right way. It was only high 30s in snap count. Now, he played the 6 most snaps of anyone on defense. Obviously, they got some guys in there, rotated some guys at the end. Tyron Hopper was playing, things like that. But he played the 6 most snaps of anyone on defense. It really felt last night like they had the rotations right. Here's what I will say. In base defense, if Edgerrin Cooper is not in there for some reason, right? They just want bigger run defenders, and that ends up being Quay Walker and Tyron Hopper over time, and maybe some other big physical linebacker, whether that's McDuffie or Eric Wilson or some other free agent next year, and Cooper is not on the field in base defense. And in dime defense, if that ends up just being Quay Walker or some other linebacker, as long as Edgerrin Cooper is in there at every single nickel snap, and that's like 85% of the defense anyway, I'm totally cool with that. And I think they're using him the exact right way. And he's just a special playmaker. And just to go back to your last point, Sparky, as well, I just want to like emphasize of like, as like Quay Walker was a 96 percentile athlete at linebacker, and you just watch Edgerrin Cooper next to him, and it just should reemphasize how special that Edgerrin Cooper is, because as athletic and freaky as Walker is, like, it's not even a comparison to Edgerrin Cooper and what Edgerrin Cooper is doing from a, not only a freak athlete standpoint, but also able to play within himself at that position. It's just, like I said, it's really, really fun to watch him kind of sprout up and be this star right in front of our eyes.
But there, I mean, I don't know what you think, but to me, it's, you know, if we're talking about Walker versus Cooper, Cooper has anticipation. Cooper knows where he's supposed to be. There's no hesitation. With yep. Quay, it's almost like, again, Nate's changed here in the last, you know, a couple of weeks before his injury. We're letting him blitz a little bit more, but it was almost like he was second-guessing himself the entire time he was out there. Once in a while, he wouldn't, and he'd make a play. But a lot of times, I almost felt like he wasn't sure what he was supposed to be doing in different moments of time, which you can't have when you're the leader of the defense with, as you put it, the green dot on the helmet.
It's all about natural. It's just so natural for Edgerrin Cooper. Like, it doesn't look like he is a linebacker figuring out how to play linebacker. It doesn't look like there's any hesitation. It doesn't look like there's any trepidation of what he needs to do. And guess what? Sometimes he may make a mistake. He may fire at a million miles per hour and go somewhere where he's not necessarily supposed to go. Those things will come with time. He's a rookie. He'll learn that over time. But there's never any sort of doubt or hesitation of where he's going on a play. When he sees something, he's instinctual about it, and he fires and he goes and he does it a million miles per hour. And what I'll also say about it is, what's so natural about it and what's so awesome about it is you don't really see him ever overrun a play or, you know, take himself out of a play and not be able to change direction. For as freaky, fast, and athletic as he is, it's all, again, very natural where he's doing it, where he can change directions and get to his point and do whatever he needs to do to go make a play. It doesn't ever feel like, again, he's thinking. It doesn't ever feel like he is not able to get to where he needs to go because he's overrunning a play. It's just all very instinctual and all very natural. And to me, that's the difference between your freaky Edgerrin Cooper and your freaky Quay Walker.
I heard you yesterday talking about a list. I think it was on ESPN. I saw the same list where they had the Packers ranked like 30th as far as draft busts or whatever here in the last so many years. And they had Devontae Wyatt and Quay Walker as the Packers regrets or whatever. I don't know, man. I mean, Devontae Wyatt played well earlier in the year. Then he got hurt. And now here, last night again, he comes up with a big play, had a sack last week too. Maybe Devontae Wyatt is starting to get back to where he was at the beginning of the year. And if he does, that's a huge, huge development for the Packers as far as, you know, another pass rusher that they can count on going into the playoffs.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think we're just seeing a lot of these young players develop right in front of our eyes. I thought Brenton Cox was impressive. LVN yep. had a multitude of pressures in this game last night. And then, you know, again, you mentioned Devontae Wyatt. Like, these guys up front are starting to step up in a way that we have not seen at any really point in the season other than the last couple of weeks, or maybe I guess the Titans game as well. But yeah, if this defensive front gets going in a way that is at a totally different level than it was, they were finding ways to be successful on defense with basically unable to get there with a four-man rush earlier in the season, and now they're able to get there with a four-man rush, and that's a really, really exciting. I said all along it was a prerequisite for this team if they wanted to be a big-time playoff or potential Super Bowl contender. They had to get that going. They've been able to get it going these last few weeks, and it's been really fun to watch, and it completely makes Jeff Hafley's job a lot easier, and it just makes this defense so much more dangerous. Let's talk a little bit, Sparky, about this Packers-Vikings game coming up and just how the Packers navigate these past 2 weeks. I kind of mentioned it earlier. I'm still very much all in, and you have to play this Vikings game to win. There's no letting the foot off the brake letting the foot off the gas quite yet. I think they need to continue to trend towards the right direction and trend towards the playoffs. But how do you navigate these next couple weeks, specifically the Vikings coming up on Sunday?
Well, I think for the Vikings game, you're all in, right? I would think now this report yesterday on Jerry Alexander, as far as he didn't feel himself and they're going to have to look at him again, maybe he doesn't play. Originally, I thought maybe he'd play again in this Vikings game, that's maybe kind of what they were looking at. So we'll see if he plays against the Vikings. I think you definitely need him in that game. But I think in this Vikings game, yeah, you're trying to win. I mean, technically, you still have a shot at that 5 seed. With all due respect, I'd rather play the Falcons than the Rams at this point. So in the first round. Now, what would have to happen? You have to win your last 2 games, obviously, and the Vikings have to lose theirs. But the Vikings' last game is the Lions. So if you beat them, there's a good chance they're not beating the Lions. And then all of a sudden, you're in that 5 seed. And if there's an upset somewhere along the line here in the playoffs, you very well can end up hosting a playoff game once you get past the first round. So I think it's very important that they beat this Vikings team to give them a chance to still get that 5 seed going into the last week. Now, if they don't, and there's nothing to play for in the Bears game on that last week, Tommy Wirtz and I were talking about this last night on the show, what do you do? I don't think they're going to rest guys. I don't think they're going to sit Love in week 17. I don't think they're going to sit anybody. I think they're all going to play. Now, maybe they pull them at halftime and then put in, you know, their backups for the second half to make sure everybody's healthy. I just think there's a lot of history of guys not playing and resting a week and then coming back and then maybe being a little rusty the following week. So I don't think you'll actually sit them against the Bears, but you'll probably play them maybe for a half and then pull them. But this Vikings game is a big deal. I think Jordan Love and the Packers, you know that they lost that second time to the Lions. So from a mental standpoint, maybe the Lions have a little bit of an advantage, but I say they kept that game close enough where the Packers have to feel good that they can beat that Lions team if they see them in the playoffs. And I think this game here against the Vikings, you want to make sure you win this game so you're in their head too, meaning the last time they saw you, you beat them and took care of them. That's what you want. And realistically, if you could have it any way you want it to be in the style of the Packers against Detroit on Thanksgiving last year. You want to bury them into the ground and make sure they realize that little brother is still little brother.
I love that. And I'm with you. Sparky, it would not shock me. Like, if Green Bay would get the 5 and Minnesota would get the 6, which would mean Green Bay won their final 2 games, Minnesota loses their final 2 games, including, again, the game against Green Bay coming up this week. And then it's Detroit that they have in that final game, so it's not unfeasible by any means. It would not stun me if the playoffs went Green Bay goes to the NFC South, either plays the Buccaneers or the Falcons and wins that game. Meanwhile, Minnesota goes to the NFC West, whether it be Seattle or the Rams, and Minnesota wins that game. In that situation, you're likely, assuming that the Eagles would beat Washington in that scenario, you would have Green Bay go to Philly. You would have Minnesota go to Detroit. It would not stun me if Green Bay beat Philly and Philly. It would not stun me if Minnesota beat Detroit and Detroit. I think with Detroit being as banged up as they are, I think that's a winnable game for Minnesota. And all of a sudden, before you know it, you're looking at Packers hosting the Minnesota Vikings in an NFC championship game at home. I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility. So I think there's a lot of reasons that you get an easier matchup in the first round going against the NFC South rather than the West. You potentially avoid the Lions in the second round if you get any sort of upset behind you. And then I also think you could potentially still have that home game depending on what the Vikings and Commanders do behind you as well. So I think there's a lot to play for over these last couple weeks.
Well, you know, the other thing we talked about last night on the postgame show was this team finally feels like a team built to play in the playoffs in cold weather. A lot of times with Aaron Rodgers, that was a team built to play on turf, inside, warm weather, throwing it all over the place, not really worrying about running the football. This football team here feels like if it's snowing out, advantage Packers, because they're probably going to be able to run it better than the team they're facing. It feels like this team is built to play in cold weather, where a lot of Rodgers teams, even though they would get home field advantage in Green Bay, never really felt like the team that was meant to play in that weather.
I'm going to one-up you here, Sparky. I think this team has built, or this you know, Goody and friends have built a team that can win in a variety of different ways. I don't think they need ideal conditions or perfect conditions or outside or indoors. I think they can win in so many different ways. And I think we have seen them win with a pass offense, especially, you know, even going back to last year and what they did in Dallas. I think they can win running the football, as we've seen with Josh Jacobs. I think they can win a shootout. I think they can win a grinded out game. I think they can win outside. I think they can win inside. I think they can win with defense for the first time in, I don't know, forever. I think they can win with special teams. We saw a blocked field goal against the Bears pick up a win in that game. I think there are so many more avenues for this team to win than there have been in the past. It doesn't take a 40-point performance from the offense because the defense can't get stops. I think they can win in so many different ways, and I think that's what's ultimately going to set them up for success come playoff time.
It was funny. I was joking with Tommy Wirtz last night after Malik Willis made that one big throw there. Again, I'm like, well, Jordan Love to the Jets. Malik Willis is your starter next year. She's fun to use that draft capital to get back for Jordan Love.
It is Christmas Eve. We are not having trading Jordan Love discussions here on the Packaday Radio Show today. But you will have those opportunities later in today. What do you got coming up today, and what do you have coming up the rest of this week, my friend?
Yeah, it's easy, man. I mean, today we're doing just a big old Packer post-game show. We'll probably talk a little bit about the Bucks' victory again last night against the Bulls, doing it without Giannis, doing it without Lillard, and going down to Chicago, not only getting a win, but getting a win that they pretty much had control of for a good portion of that game. So we'll probably touch on that a little bit. But, you know, it's a green and gold Christmas Eve, I guess you could say. So a lot of Packer chatter coming up here this afternoon. I know a lot of people will be on their way to their family or friends' houses for Christmas Eve or doing some last-minute buying of gifts. So just keep it tuned to the Fan all day. You got Mason Crosby and Mitch Thunder Nels coming up next at 9 to 11. And then we'll be on from 2 to 5 this afternoon. Keep it tuned in, and here's some good Packer conversation the rest of the day.
I can't wait. Really, really quick, is Bobby Portis gone from must trade to must keep? Like he's got a little made a name for himself these last few weeks.
Those people that hate Bobby Portis will hate Bobby Portis regardless. Those people that hate Bobby Portis will simply continue to point to the defense and say that is the reason. And the one conversation we've been having a little bit here is, I know Middleton is back into the starting lineup for this Bucks team, but Andy, what if they convince Chris Middleton to come off of the bench? What if that second unit all of a sudden has the scoring of Middleton and Portis and Trent and A.J. Green? You legitimately have four guys that can get going offensively coming off of your bench to go with the starting five of Lillard and Jackson and Torian Prince and Giannis and Brooke Lopez. I would argue that is a deeper team than what you had your championship season.
I will also say, just like we talked about with the Packers, the Bucks have found, I think, now ways to win in multiple ways with multiple lineups, and I think that is a great sign for them as well. Sparky, you're the best. Make sure to follow him on Twitter, at Sparky Radio. Of course, check out the show later today, Wisconsin Sports Daily, 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. Appreciate you a ton, Sparky, and we'll talk to you soon. Have a very, very happy holidays. When we come back, we're going to be going to the phone, so get those phone calls into the Nicolay Law Fan Talk and text line, 414-677-1250. It's the Packaday Radio Show live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook.